WNST, Tassel Baltimore and Baltimore Positive, reminding you to set us on your little radio dials. We can even be number six, just as long as we're in one of those settings at AM 1570 out on the radio dial. It's a great week around here. Everything's Odell Beckham Jr. instead of Lamar Jackson. I don't know how we're going to have any oxygen for Postmasters or for the Baltimore Orioles, but we're going to find it. We're going to be at Pappas on Thursday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I had a lot of winners last week at Fadley's and at Costas. Costas, my God, the Maryland Lottery brought the whole band out. It was awesome. John Martin joined us. My friend Gigi Causey caught up with me, and new UMBC soccer coach Anthony Adams. We had a long conversation about Dundalk and Pete Carinji. So it was a great time. That was Costas. We were at Fadley's on Friday for opening day. We're going to be at Pappas on Thursday in Bel Air. That's the new Pappas for everybody up in Harford County. I was up there checking that. They're going to find a little spot for me over in the corner of the bar because the place is packed. I'll be there 2 to 5 on Thursday. And then we're at Captain Larry's downtown in Federal Hill on the 27th of the month. We're going to reschedule Fadley's later in the month as well to do a sit down. All of it brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, 866-99. Nation. Two windows bought, two windows free in 5 years, 0% financing. That's 60 months. That's a great deal. 866-90-NATION. Luke Jones joins us now. What does Odell Beckham have to do with the Orioles or the Masters or the Eagles concert or the CFG Bank Arena? I'll tell you what, man, you were embedded with the Orioles last I checked. Last I checked, it was just opening day and we still had an old arena, right? I mean, it's amazing what a weekend will change around here.
No question. I mean, the story at the start of the weekend was opening day and Lamar kind of being on the back burner. Not that it isn't, but just from a mindset of what else is there to talk about at this point in time? He's locked in. The Ravens are locked in. We're still weeks and weeks away, even from OTAs, to see if he's going to show up then, let alone talking about, you know, mini camp or training camp or anything like that. And lo and behold, Odell Beckham Jr. steals the weekend headline locally. Now, still plenty going on. And the Orioles still played baseball over the weekend. But after the euphoria of a really fun opening day, a victory over the New York Yankees, you know, kind of a meh weekend after that. Let's face it. You know, didn't swing the bats all that terribly well and didn't pitch all that terribly well. So, you know,
Nasty Nestor showed up, though, didn't he? Huh? Yeah.
He did. He did. Your favorite player. So, you know, but they lose 2 out of 3. It's not the end of the world, but certainly not a series where there was a whole lot to take away that you felt great about. I think there's still very clearly questions on the pitching side, even if the pitching wasn't terrible on Sunday. You know, Aaron Judge gets to you sometimes. I mean, there are a lot of teams that could say that, especially after last year. But I think, you know, we're still kind of in that feeling out, early let the season breathe kind of period for the Baltimore Orioles. And there's been some good, there's been some bad, and adding up to a 4-5 record to, you know, over the first 9 games is not the end of the world, but certainly not something you're doing cartwheels over either. But the difference now is after the Yankees leave town, the Oakland Athletics come into town, the one team in baseball with a lower payroll than the Baltimore Orioles. And they're off to a bad start. They're only averaging about 3 runs per game. You know, they're on a losing streak. You know, they got beat up by Tampa Bay, who's doing that to everyone right now. So this 4-game set, a nice chance for the Orioles to, expectation should be win 3 out of 4, win a series against a team that you're much more talented than and before you go back on the road. So again, underwhelming weekend to say the least. When you win the first game of a series, you'd like a chance to win it, but obviously the Orioles come up short Saturday and Sunday.
I know you'll find this to be amazing, but there's photographic evidence and many, many, many witnesses that I was at opening day. So I was floating around and really vibing out the stadium, the experience. And it's fascinating, dude, because I went to this 30-year-old ballpark on Friday, left it, and then entered this 70-year-old, you know, 63-year-old. I don't know how many years it's been. My old 63-year-old building that they've refurbed. And I'm going to be talking about the refurbishment, and everybody that's down there can experience what used to be here and what currently is there. And there's remnants of what used to be. You know, for me with Camden Yards, you know, the plague, the remodeling of left field, all of that, to be there and experience it when it's full, because we were still like feeling the, you know, all the effects of COVID this time last year, to be in there and see it sort of vibrant, see people see hope. It's been a long, just, I mean, honestly, the last time you pointed this out, I think it was your parting shot last week, which is it's the first opening day where people can show up at the ballpark and think, hey, they might make the playoffs this year if things go right, because we haven't had that. So feeling all of that and walking the club level, walking the main level, walking the concourses, walking Boog's Barbecue, being at the bar, seeing all of that, not being able to get anywhere near Pickles because the line and this and that, and how many people are just there to get drunk. I mean, really, there's a part of it that's the Preakness. I mean, it really is. Like, I saw stumbling, vomiting people at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But there's a part of it that's a civic, like, spring coming, and I don't even want to get going on 80 degrees versus 50 because I got to wear my jacket. I'm fine with it. You know what I mean? But like, they screwed up. That's on them. It's bad for the city. It was a pooch. It was a decision. They took a shot, like Odell Beckham. They took a shot. But for the Orioles and for whatever the hope is, I was struck by just the fact that I didn't feel like old times because a lot of the faces have changed, but it felt like people were watching the game. It felt like people were into it. It felt like people knew who Gunnar Henderson was. It felt like they were Adley Rutschman jerseys, that we weren't living on Boog and Brooks.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it was a good vibe. I think, fully acknowledging, there were some empty seats here and there, which was going to happen when you postpone opening day. I would shudder to think if that scenario had played out in last year, or, you know, the year before was COVID restricted.
Or if they're playing the Devil Rays. Because honestly, the Yankees inflated the ticket. The ticket prices were still 80 or 100 bucks to get in on Friday because Yankee fans were buying them. There was another fan base there.
But my overall point is, I mean, let's face it, we talked about what opening day looked like last year. We talked about what it looked like in 2019, and they can announce it was a sellout. We know it wasn't. This felt like it was a much more legitimate sellout. Yeah, there were empty seats on Friday. Part of it is, to your point, there's some amateur hour going on where some people don't even make it into the ballpark, college kids and all that. And look, you know, people have Preakness stories. People have stories of their own when they're in their younger days.
Dude, it was an unprecedented day in the history of Baltimore, period. Period. I mean, with the stadium there and it moving to that day and the Yankees being here and Springsteen being, I mean, I wanted to go drink it in, you know, just walk around. Yeah. And I didn't care about the game, to be honest with you. I was much more interested in the what's going on here. What's happening for my city? What does this mean? I'm Baltimore positive. What does this mean? I've been doing this for 31 years. I was there before the stadium opened. So what does it mean? What does it mean to the young people here? What does it mean for your niece? I say that a lot because I mean it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's excitement. I said this, and you really started seeing this last year, even if it wasn't showing up in terms of the attendance looking all that impressive. But from the moment Adley Rutschman arrived last May, you started seeing it. And my sample that I'm looking at is the lower seating bowl in front of the press box, which is, of course, right behind home plate. And so, you know, that's not, you know, the price point for those seats compared to someone sitting in the upper deck, which is where I sat growing up and, you know, even well into my 20s and everything. It's a little bit different, but you could just see a little bit of a shift. There were fewer old Manny Machado and Adam Jones, and certainly going back, you know, and you still see Cal and Brooks jerseys. I mean, you're always
more
see
Palmers.
That.
I recognize the Palmers when I see them.
You're always going to see that. You're always going to see that. And that's fine. Like, you should, just like you still see Ray Lewis jerseys at Ravens games, you know, and Ray's been retired for a decade. But you are seeing more of certainly Adley Rutschman. You're seeing a few more Gunnar Henderson shirts. You know, we've seen Mullins a little bit the last couple of years in terms of fans having the shirts. But you do get the sense, and you got the sense on Friday that there was enthusiasm. And we said it. I mean, even though 2018, technically going into the season, there was still some semblance of thought that they might still be decent one more year, even though that was Machado and Adam Jones contract year. But yeah, you know, this is the first time really since, you know, probably 2016, 17, when you entered a season really having some positive vibes. Not that they're going to win the World Series, but they've got a really good shot at making the playoffs. And the idea, maybe this is the better way to describe it, the idea that they're now an ascending team. At that point, even 2016, they were still trying to hold on, right? They were still trying to recreate what they did in 14 when they won the division. So for the first time in a while, you had that vibe, and I think it was a good atmosphere. I mean, it was a good ball game on Friday. I mean, Ramon Urias being the hero with the go ahead RBI double, and he makes a really nice play on the double play in the eighth inning to protect the lead. So, you know, that was fun. And although they didn't build on it Saturday and Sunday, you still look at opening day in its totality. Yeah, the decision was unfortunate, and we talked about it even when it happened that. There's you're not going to please everyone no matter what you decide here. And there is a chance when you try to be proactive with the weather. I mean, it's a Chesapeake Bay. We know the weather changes very, very quickly. So I do stick
on an
up
80
for them.
Degree day where people could have gotten drunk and drenched and had a good time, even if the game didn't go off. It was such an un-Peter-like decision, right? Like,
yeah,
it's
going to
be
doubt.
80 degrees, and the thunderstorms aren't coming until game time, maybe. Let's just let people come downtown and have a good time. And if it rains, it rains, and we'll just bang the game and just have less people show up on Friday, but at least give people the experience. Like, that's the part of it. Look, I didn't bitch about it. I didn't even bitch about it on social media, whatever. Yeah. You know how I felt about it? I enjoyed an 80-degree day on Thursday without having to go to the ball game, right? So I went down there with a jacket on 50, and I took what they gave me because I'm a peasant and they're kings, right? I mean, I took what they gave me, but they screwed themselves, and it kind of was, you know, it's a shame, you know, I mean, but it wasn't a shame because if you were down there for the day with Springsteen and stuff, it was a great memory. It really was.
Yeah, I would probably describe it as unfortunate as much as anything, right? Again, there's no perfect decision you're making in that kind of a situation. And maybe, you know, maybe they learned their lesson that you don't do the overly proactive thing because it is Baltimore and you don't know what the weather's going to
change. Well, it was going to be an 80-degree day all day anyway. You knew that. And that was like, I'll take that. I'll sign me up for that. And if it rains, it rains. You know what I mean?
But keep in mind, in fairness, there had been some concerns with the forecast that not just rain, but some severe weather, you know, some severe storms. Again, we can, you know, people are going to bash that because people want to complain about something. And I get it. It's unfortunate. It stinks that it turned out the way that it did. But to your point, Friday was still a good day, even if it wasn't quite as warm. And even if I, you know, was bundled up with a jacket and a sweater in the press box. But I think you just look at what opening day was in its totality. It really did represent, a real signal of hope in terms of some optimism for this club, some optimism for the future. To your point, the Springsteen concert being that night, I think it really did speak to Baltimore having some extra juice and energy that, frankly, it needed. We talked about this on the heels of all the Lamar drama, just not knowing what's going to happen there. I mean, with the Ravens being at this very strange inflection point, it's nice to have some other things to be excited about on the sports landscape or the entertainment landscape with the arena and Springsteen and, you know, all the shows going on there. So it was fun. It was a good weekend in that way. Again, you would have liked to have taken one of these last two to win a series, but, you know, they didn't pitch great and they didn't swing the bats particularly well. And when you're going up against the New York Yankees, you got to play better than that. But again, losing two out of three in the big picture doesn't change the direction of the season or anything like that. Just got to play a little bit better, and you hope you got a chance to do that. And oh, by the way, as we're talking about events giving people some juice, Grayson Rodriguez first home start on Tuesday night. They're giving out t-shirts, or Grayson Rodriguez t-shirts even. Look, it's a Tuesday night against Oakland. I'm guessing the ballpark's not going to be sold out by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think that will be an interesting case study right there to see what the juice actually is. Opening day, it's like Preakness. It's an event. I mean, even years where the Orioles have been lousy, they still have, whether it's a sellout or not, they still have a lot of people there. But a Tuesday night against the Oakland A's in April, that'll be interesting to see what kind of crowd they draw, knowing that Grayson Rodriguez is starting. There's been a few days advance here, unlike the Rutschman situation that we talked about last year where, you know, they waited till the morning of to announce he was making his debut. So, you know, is that a game where, I don't know, do you get 25,000 people to show up on a night where if you're playing Oakland in April, you're wondering if it's going to be 9,000 people? You get 25,000 to show up for Grayson Rodriguez on Tuesday night, then we might be having a different conversation about just how much juice there is for the Orioles. So I'm not saying that will definitely happen, but we've been talking about Grayson for several years now. So for him to be making his first start at Camden Yards, I will be interested to see what that crowd looks like on Tuesday night. And again, I think that will be a peek behind the curtain of just how much juice there is for the Orioles beyond saying, hey, let's go out on opening day. They're going to be decent this year. We'll drink some beers and have some fun.
Well, I would say this. I ran into Bill Henry, controller Bill Henry, and he said to me, just going into the stadium, it's a great politician thing to say, but it was kind of true. He's like, we're finally getting the city we deserve. You know what I mean? To some degree that we could come downtown and have, as a friend of mine would say, we can have nice things. We can have a good baseball team. We can have Odell Beckham. You know, we can have a football team. I remember 30 years ago, can't we just get an NFL team? Can't we just, you know, can't we just get Jimmy Key and BJ Surhoff and Roberto Alomar to sign here? And, you know, there's definitely a point about it where the stadium, the fans, where it is, Little John coming out and addressing people last week. The fact that there's a new day where every time Adley Rutschman takes the bat, you feel like you're seeing something special, and you did on Sunday. They lost, but people still saw something on Easter Sunday if they brought their mom to the game, right? For the team itself and for pitching and for the way the game is being played and for the way that maybe this team is being built to run the bases a little bit in an era where the pitch clock thing is whacked out catchers, it's whacked out pitchers. I can't imagine. Look, the one thing that really occurred to me, and I said this being in the stadium when it was full the other day, was if in a big game in September, here, somewhere where the stadium gets loud, and I don't even know where that is anymore. I mean, I did 30 ballparks in 30 days. It's been 8 years ago now. Most of the stadiums aren't full. Most of them aren't loud. But if it becomes Venezuelan or Cuban baseball or even Korean and Japanese baseball where it's loud, where it's just loud, not like golf, which we watched, but where the guy I saw that the Guardians honored the fellow who banged the drum out in Cleveland in the outfield for many years that was immortalized in Major League and all that. If there's a vibe at a stadium that could get under a pitcher, and I think about Who's Your Daddy with Pedro Martinez, and I think about Eddie, you know, the rocking, raucous part of baseball that doesn't exist. It's old, it's white, it's tired. They yell after a home run. Maybe when there's two strikes, you can get people up, but there's only 11,000 people in the stadium. I'm talking about where your ass is fried, and it's 45,000 fans at Yankee Stadium breathing down on you, and you've got a pitch clock. I just think it's really going to change the dynamic of crowded games and what it's already done. And I know you and Dennis did an hour on baseball Thursday, and most of it wasn't Orioles or Nasty Nestor pitching or how's Aaron Judge or they didn't get off-season help or whatever it is. It's the game is different. Dude, I put it on Sunday. They're in the fifth inning, an hour into it. It's like, wow. They get the ball back and they pitch and they get the ball back and the pace, everything about it is different in the first week. And I've noticed that.
It really is. I mean, it was noticeable even during spring training. I think people who take in minor league baseball and had seen some of these principles introduced to on a test, you know, on a case study basis and to, you know, baseball did their homework. I saw Theo Epstein, who is working for the commissioner, working for the league and advising. He did a podcast with Jason Stark last week. It was great. I listened to it. It was over an hour. And he kind of went bullet point by bullet point, all the different rule changes. And even talking about what could be coming in the future, the automated strike zone. And, you know, that they've, as much as baseball is, you know, I've been so frustrated with how reactive it's typically been on just about everything. Some of these rule changes, I think I will credit them that I feel like they have done their homework in kind of anticipating how it's going to look. And it is different. It's not so different that it feels rushed. Although to your scenario, you lay out come September, if you're in a pennant race and you're playing in Yankee Stadium or a sold out Fenway or wherever, and you need to win a ball game. Yeah, there's going to be a little more juice on the pitcher with a clock involved. But I think what we're finding is one, it's evident. The time of game, average time of game across baseball is down, and it's down substantially. It's been roughly a half hour or so, you know, even going back to spring training. It was evident from the first day of spring, the Grapefruit and Cactus League action. But so you have that. But I think what makes it good is it's not so fast that it's distracting or feels rushed, but it does feel different. I can say on Friday. That was my first in-person game of the season, having watched a Major League Baseball game in person for the first time in 2023. I watched the clock early on a little bit just to kind of, one, I wanted to see where it was from a fan standpoint, you know, from a media standpoint. But you watch it, but guess what happens? After a few batters, that novelty wears off really quickly, and you kind of just get into watching a game like you always have. Now, what that said, I do notice a quicker pace. It is noticeable. For example, if you're looking down at your laptop or looking down at your phone between pitches, you find that you're missing something, right? I mean, before, you know, the batter stepping out, he's adjusting his batting gloves, he's knocking the dirt out of his cleats. It totally is. It totally is. So you have that. So you notice that. And the other thing I notice, and again, sitting behind home plate, it's my perspective as a media member, but anyone in the ballpark, when you're watching it in person, rather than just seeing the center field camera that you see on a Mass and telecast or ESPN or whatever, you absolutely also do notice the shift's gone. It looks like baseball, how it used to look prior to 10 years ago when shifting took over. And as much as I was a little more reluctant on that part of it, not because aesthetically I like the shift, but I don't think anyone liked the shift from an optics standpoint, but I did dislike the idea that we're stifling intellect, right? Teams put in a heck of a lot of work to research where the batted balls were going for any given batter and then positioning their defense appropriately. But I think you see that, and we've seen that. Batting average for balls being put in play is up. We're seeing more singles, balls up the middle that were always hits for 100 years and suddenly weren't anymore over the last 10 years are hits again.
Cost Chris Davis' career. Maybe he might want to come back to and play again. The earn some money.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I go that far, but certainly it had an impact on him. There's no question about that. So I like that. I like it. I think these changes are, I think it's a positive. Look, that's not to say that it's perfect. I don't think you're going to have any rule change and not have some unintended consequence that could creep up at some point. And you just laid it out. When the games grow more intense in August and September and certainly into October, you do wonder what kind of an impact it could have. However, what I will say in response to that is these guys, and especially talking about younger guys, and you made mention of the Orioles with, you know, just the running game as part of it, but you have a younger team that these guys kind of grew up in the minor leagues the last couple of years with some of these things being introduced. So I think my point is you're going to see players that are much more accustomed and used to the pace that the pitch timer creates, the style of play that's being created by limiting the shift at this point in time. So
the way your dad and I taught us to play,
I really do.
Literally, right?
And that's the thing. It's so funny because, and you and I have debated this at different times about different topics in baseball, right? I'm a traditional guy. Like I don't want to see the game change into something that I don't recognize anymore. You know, I'm still not a big fan of the runner on second base in extra innings. I'm just not. I'd like to see that at least, you know, push that back to the 12th inning at the very least, so we can have a couple normal extra innings. But yeah, that point aside, for those that are purists and the idea of a clock, you cringe because baseball, the beauty of it was what? It had no clock, right? Compared to the other sports.
Well, that's what you've been saying all these years. That's the beauty of it.
About change. Yeah, it is. However, what we have to acknowledge is that game that you're longing for, talking about 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, had gotten so much slower since that point in time. Society's gotten and life has gotten quicker, but baseball continued to get slower and slower and slower. So what the clock has done, and again, it's not a perfect fit because they're still, at the end of the day, they're still selling commercials, right? They're still, there's still your time in between innings that's longer than it was 50 years ago. But they have been able to speed up the game. They've increased the action. A few more base hits now. Look, the strikeout thing, the three true outcomes, home run, walk, strikeout, that's still something that is part of the discussion in terms of what you're going to do long term, if you can maybe curtail that a little bit and have a little more action. But I think what you're seeing is you're seeing a game that's kind of returning to where it was 30 or 40 years ago. It just needed a catalyst to do that. You know, we always talk about a leadoff hitter being a catalyst, right? You know, jumpstart your offense. The clock's kind of jumpstarting, getting back to where it was, that you don't have these extraordinary lulls in between pitches and these at-bats that are lasting a few minutes and you're going 6 or 7 minutes without the ball being put in play. I mean, that wasn't good. And for those of us who love baseball, you know, we can let go of the idea of not having a clock if you actually give it a chance and you realize it's not all that distracting, but it has led to a better pace. And look, if we were seeing 6 or 7 pitch timer violations per game, that would be a little more extreme. But you know what? It's kind of feels like a delay a game in football. It happens once a game, you know, on average. You know, it's not something that you're seeing multiple times. Although some people that watched the Greg Roman offense the last few years might beg to differ, but it's leading to a better brand of baseball. And if you love the sport, if you truly love the game of baseball and even love it today and didn't have nearly as many issues with it as maybe a lot of folks did, if we can acknowledge making a couple changes here, making a couple tweaks that are going to make the game better, make it more appealing to young kids, that's going to make the game better in the long run. And ultimately, if you love the game, you want to see it continue to thrive in the long term. And I do think these changes that have been implemented are going to help them do that. It's not the last thing. And my goodness, we can talk all day and continue to talk about blackout restrictions and the future of RSNs and streaming and all those different things, not just in Baltimore, but league-wide. But I do think what they've done here in 2023 is a really nice start to making the game better.
Well, they could have moved the fence back, another 50 feet on Aaron Judge. He got hit out of Yellowstone over the weekend. I still think they made a mistake on Nasty Nestor. I do. You know, I think that's been borne out. For them to see Oakland and where they are right now, this is, you know, getting beaten up on by the Yankees, whatever, a couple games here and there. I still feel very engaged in what they're doing because I feel like they're relevant again. And it's taken a long time, but they are relevant again. And we will hope to be relevant again here this week as the Masters is over and the Odell Beckham and Lamar Jackson sweepstakes begin here. And spring has sprung and the Orioles are home. And hope everybody's enjoying the good weather out there. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at Pappas on Thursday in Bel Air, Harford County. Come on up, say hello. Be giving away the Instant Lottery throwback tickets. We had a bunch of winners at Fadley's on Friday and at Costas last Wednesday. Had a beautiful conversation at Costas with some old friends. Also brought John Martin and Pete. And the family came by, and we took a nod at 50 years for the Maryland Lottery. Also, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. That is a great deal. Dennis's tech service was off over the weekend from Coons Ford on Sunday night, on Easter night, with our Odell Beckham. Who knows what is next here this week? But I know Luke has you covered on the baseball side, the football side, the draft coming in a couple of weeks, and I'm sure more on Lamar Jackson and certainly more on the Orioles as they're now firing away. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.